It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning, DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here. We are both in studio. Tucker Silva behind the board today. We do actually have something to bet on today. I think there's been at least something to bet on over the last couple of days, whether it's been Korean baseball, which has kind of jumped off the page this week. The first game of the year, I said go under, it hit. I haven't seen anything else since. But it's a different game and something to get used to there.
Yeah, a bunch of them got postponed today because of the rain. So I had a couple bets out last night, got postponed. So
it's interesting. I mean, it's like kind of like, all right, let's just watch this and see what we have here. And it stimulates the brain a little bit, I got to tell you. Like, because we've had nothing, right? I mean, I can't watch the last night the 04 Red Sox World Series was on again. And, like, I know it's a great moment, but, like, I just was, like, boring.
It was fun. It was fun early on to watch the replays. I'm done. If you're still watching replays, like, good for you. I'm glad that you can be entertained, but I can't do it anymore.
So the UFC 249 is tonight. You know, I know there are some people that still aren't into the UFC game, and that's fine. And the fact that UFC is even having matches tonight is still controversial. I'm going to be talking to John Anik next week.
Especially after last night, too.
Yeah, and yeah, right off the bat, Jacare Souza was supposed to have a match with Uriah Hall. And him and two of his corner men have been tested positive for COVID-19. And, of course, this is happening in Jacksonville, and the Florida Commission says that the show will go on. But that's unfortunate. And they test. So what's happening now in sports, just to get the COVID stuff out of the way here? I mean, obviously, it's right in our face here. But the NBA yesterday is going forward with opening facilities for teams. And Orlando yesterday and Cleveland, you know, Kevin Love, if you look it up, had a story about how it's the first time he's touched a basketball in months, drove to the facility. You know, some of the guys got tested, some of the staff people got tested, but he's shooting a basketball with a guy who's wearing a mask, holding gloves, and they're washing the ball constantly. And it's just, you know, he notices that it just isn't the same game right now. Adam Silver had a talk with many people around the league about what they're going to do with the game. They want to finish the season. They need to find somewhere to do it, whether it's Orlando, whether it's Vegas. They've even considered Toronto as well. But they don't have to make a decision until June at some point. But they want to finish the season, but they need to test everybody.
They need to make a decision before June. I don't care what they say, and you know that they need to make a decision by June. They need to make a decision in the next week or two, honestly, because if you start waiting to June, you got to give these guys a month to come back. We're not going to have basketball until July. The playoffs last 2-3 months. We're not going to be done until September, October. They don't want the NBA playoffs going up against potentially the NFL. That's stupid business. That's poor. That's just a poor job by these guys. Listen, I understand it's a scary time for everyone right now. I understand the things that we're going through. If Korea can find a way to play South Korean baseball And, you know,
in Taiwan now, as fans,
Taiwan has fans in the stands. I mean, we can figure out how to play, you know, basketball. And is it going to be difficult? Or are there going to be players who don't want to play? Absolutely. And I think that, you know, there's everyone's kind of scared right now. But I think that the NBA is the league that is so tries to be so far ahead of everyone when it comes to, you know, being, how would you say it, Joe? The, you know.
Well, I think
the most woke, and so therefore, because they want to be woke, they want to, you know, be super careful about everyone's feelings and everything. And I'm just kind of tired of it.
We had a discussion last night, myself and Christian Arkand. NBA is being most transparent about this, meaning that they want to test every staffer and everybody that's going, and they don't want to start a new season unless there's some sort of vaccine. Like, they don't want to start a new season.
We're just never going to play basketball.
Dan, you said you think if something should come sooner than later. There are so many hiccups that Silver has to go through before even making a decision that I think it's not going to happen. There's too much safety at risk. There was even talks about, like, that the player's going to have to find their own private jet, like, to get to the facility. But if they're going to have games in one place... Like, what else if one person gets sick? I don't see it happening. Listen, to your point, like, do you want to try it? And, you know, one by one, everyone's tested. And if they, like with UFC tonight, okay, the event's going to go on. But, you know, you have COVID-19, so you can't be a part of it. Like, if that happens with one person, like, do you just send them home and bring someone else in? There's so many question marks, and what the NBA is trying, they're being transparent. We've heard nothing from the NHL.
NHL. Well, we've heard the NHL is going to restart in July.
Yeah, that's what we've heard, but what's their process?
Well, I mean, I think that they're kind of being quiet about the process because they don't feel the need to get everyone up in arms about what they're doing. And I think that the NBA is trying to gauge how people feel about them starting. Now, Joe, you're saying that the NBA is going to test everyone. Well, we've also heard reports that that's not the case, that, you know, the NBA does not want to test everyone. And if players are not, you know, acting as if they're, you know, they're sick, they're not going to test them. So I don't really know what the NBA's plan is here. But to be honest with you, if LeBron James, who, to be honest, just pure honesty, basically has his agent wrapped around his finger and controls half the league. Truly. I mean, LeBron has a lot of power in that league. He wields a lot of power in that league. And if he says, everyone shut up and I want to play, I feel like the league better listen to him because he owns his agent. I'm just being honest right now. He owns his agent, and he determines a lot of moves that are made around the NBA. He always has. Ever since Rich Paul has become a powerful agent. And I think LeBron controls a lot more power in that league than people know. If he says, I want to play, I think they're going to play.
So one of the discussions yesterday was the ownership is being very competitive right now, putting pressure on some of the players to show up to the facilities. Adam Silver feels like that shouldn't be the case right now. Couple of things that came out of his interview yesterday with the league. If the season does resume, no fans are expected. 40% of the league revenue comes from the fans. So the ownerships they're losing that money. If they don't continue the playoffs, they lose that whole 60% money that comes from the TV rights.
I mean, listen.
They don't want to lose that 60%. And they're going to pressure the players to show up and come here.
Of course they are. They're going to say, we're done paying you.
Exactly.
And that's going to happen.
It's going to affect one thing that didn't even get brought up here, and this has nothing to do with gambling. But they said that they didn't have anything in place for a pandemic when it comes to the salary cap for next year. So what does that mean? They're going to shrink the salary cap for next season for NBA players?
I mean, there does seem like a good chance of that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the NBA free agents in 2021 are financially in a little bit of a hiccup there.
On a gambling side of this for the NBA, if they did come back, I feel like... Now, it does sound like they might go straight to playoffs. And the reason for that is it does sound like some teams that don't have a shot, they, or like the teams at the bottom of the league, they might not even let them come back. But they might invite 11 from each conference. So, for instance, Zion, that's a draw. Like, if they can get him into the playoffs, that's a draw for one side. Luka Doncic, you know, people like that, that's a draw for each side. So, you know, the more I look at it, there's a lot of steps that Silver has to get into. You mentioned the pressure. If LeBron says he wants to come back, I bet you some of the other, these other players will. I mean, again, Kevin Love shot a basketball for the first time yesterday. So it's been basically 8 weeks since people have shot basketballs. Now they want them to get into the facilities. Orlando, I believe, is on Tuesday. We know what's going on in L.A. The Lakers and Clippers begin next week. But what they're doing is they're literally testing every player and staffer when they get in there.
Right, but I heard that if they're going to test them, but then they're not going to retest them if they don't show any signs.
Exactly. So even without symptoms, they're just going to test them and move on. There's a lot of things on the plate here, man.
And here's my other thing. Just don't have the media there. You don't need them. I know you have contracts and all this stuff. Just don't do the interviews.
Yeah, you can just do the Zoom conference calls that you've been doing, and the media doesn't even show a face. That's it.
Just keep the media at home. I'm sorry, you know, in this situation, keep them at home and, you know, make it that much easier. And I know that that's, you know, sucks for guys like us, Tuck, who, you know, need sound bites, especially during the week, all of our shows and everything. But we're just going to have to live without, you know, the best of sound bites.
So you ready for this?
We can still get sound bites. Just pull it from the Zoom conference call.
Right, you're right. Exactly.
You're right. That's it.
But check this out now. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says there'll be no activities this summer in Boston. No gatherings, no parades, no festivals.
I don't think that's a big deal in terms of sports.
No fans at Fenway Park for baseball this year.
But I think we already expect
them. Yeah, I've always expected neutral sites.
I mean, I expect them to play at home. I'm not surprised
that there's
going to
be no fans.
So
that announcement didn't, like, for example, I'm a wrestling fan. I thought, you know, SummerSlam's off the table now. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, did you think it was going to happen?
No. Okay. I have this May 18th in my head, right? It sounds like they're going to reopen restaurants, not to its capacity.
It sounds like 25%.
But yeah, stage one. So it sounds like in one week, stage one, you might be able to go into a restaurant. You might be able to eat outside at a restaurant. That's stage one. If things go well, they're going to go with stage two.
How long is stage one going
to
last?
That's what I mean. I don't know.
2 weeks.
But May to June to July, and August is already going to get canceled. That was my hope. My hope was, okay, May 18th is the deadline. Now we're going to get to the 24th. Now we're going to, you know, and then eventually see what stage it would go to.
I've always thought of it as September. I always thought that was like the cutoff mark for me, Joe. Like, yeah. They're not going to do anything.
Well, now it's Labor Day.
Yeah.
And so no fans for baseball. If baseball comes back, there will be no fans at Fenway Park. There'll be the first year of probably anyone's lives, if they go anymore, not going to Fenway Park. That's kind of a big deal, guys.
It's just my opinion. I don't think you're going to see fans anywhere until 2021.
Okay, so that brings up my next point.
I think the NFL is going to have fans.
You think?
Yep. Yes, and here's why. Yep. I'm not political by any means. I don't want to get into it.
Please.
But Walsh is Boston. Baker is the state. Boston shut down.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing this out there. If SummerSlam wanted to happen, would they move it to Gillette Stadium? Could Baker say, okay,
I mean,
it's an outside event?
Baker owes Kraft a big one right now.
That's a good point.
I don't want to get political, but Kraft has connections to high authorities in the country.
This is not about politics. This is about
want the sport or not?
You owe someone a favor. The end. Like that. You owe someone a big favor. So I think Kraft would probably save the favor for the NFL.
And then just one more thing about this, and we'll move on. Labor Day. That's the cutoff. That Sunday, the Patriots will open the season at home against Miami. There's many stages to go here, and I think they're on their way to stage one next week. Then we'll have a stage two. I don't know how long it will last.
We'll see. I don't want
but
to get ahead.
The NFL is going business as usual.
Good.
Right? Troy Vincent says this thing is going forward until medical people say no. So Would you be surprised if there were fans in the stands?
No.
Week one?
I think they're going to, maybe not week one.
Not full out.
Not full out. Definitely not full out.
How do they do that? Like, for example, I'm a season ticket holder, okay? Mm-hmm. Are they going to say, hey, you can't, because you're in, like, section 200, 236, you can't come to the game this week, but we're going to let the lower level come?
Well, we'll let certain people come to certain games. So you got to do a mapping out of
so
seats.
So season ticket holders only, no other fans?
Probably. I could see that.
And then you have to do a mapping out of tickets. Like season ticket holder, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, you get maybe two games this year. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and then everyone else gets, you know, whatever, you get two games. And obviously they have to cut, you know, your costs, and you can't make you force you to pay for that. But, you know, you get a game, you know, with, you know, two people in your row on the other side. And you know what I mean?
Okay.
You have to finagle it.
So moving on a betting aspect of this, looking at some of the games right off the bat early on, and we'll tease this at the end of the break. Patriots at home, no fans against Miami. New quarterback Jared Stidham goes on the road week two to Seattle. Is there even a crowd factor for the young quarterback? And then one other thing, Tom Brady opens the season in New Orleans, 4-point dog, no fans in the dome. That's a huge home field advantage for the Saints.
Well, I wonder if these teams are going to be allowed, or the home teams are going to be allowed to pump in crowd noise.
I talked about this last night. Yep.
There's a rumor going on that they're going to use the app that the Premier League and the Bundesliga are using, where fans are allowed to make noise, Tuck, on the app at home, and they're going to pump it in.
I would be for that, because that affects the TV viewer as well. It's just like, oh, you're literally hearing. So,
I mean, they had people on Zoom at the draft.
There's like a boo option, a cheer option. Like you press a button and like that's what happens. You know what I mean?
I like it.
Yeah. All I'm saying, guys, we're in the unknown. We don't know. Whatever opinion we have is not wrong. It's just it's the unknown, man. I don't know what they're gonna do. There's two things. I know we got to go to break. One, it's you don't do anything and everyone stays safe and you worry about next year. That's going to hurt your sport. It's
going to
delay everything. Like the Major League Baseball draft had 40 rounds. It's going to have 5.
I don't know why that is.
But like it's because the high school kids couldn't have a season, or college kids. They didn't have a season.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate for these kids. But what I'm saying is that's going to delay the game of baseball now. Like if the hockey doesn't play, hockey's draft, we don't even know about. Like, there are a lot of things happening. The NBA, like, draft is another thing. There might not be college sports next year to start the year. And if Labor Day in Boston's done, that means that how many kids are going to be able to go to college? Like, it's the unknown. The other thing is, you try to put a plan in place, you hope everyone's safe, and you deal with the consequences. And I think for people who love sports, they want that. Is that what's best for business? We'll find out. 617-779-0985. That's it. Or if you want to jump aboard, we're going to talk gambling coming up next here on DraftKings Over Under 985.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over Under Show on 985, The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over Under Show. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshitz, Tucker's here today as well. The whole, like, what's going to happen with the future of sports thing is a very interesting conversation, but it's also interesting on what it will do to the gambling lines. And
how you're going to change your lines to adjust for no fans. How much does a home field advantage count now?
So what is it? What do you think it is? And I brought up just the Patriots example, week two going on the road to Seattle.
I mean, I think that there's a little bit of value in maybe, you know, travel. But I think at this point,
like right now, it's 3.5.
Yeah. At this point, to me, I don't know how to calculate home field advantage. I don't think you really can. I'm not sure that it matters too much. Now, you know, there are things that, you know, like players know where there's a dead spot in the field and stuff like that. Absolutely. You know, there's a few things and there's a few advantages for sure. Basketball courts, you know, there's different backgrounds and stuff. And yeah, of course, it definitely absolutely matters. But it's going to be hard without fans to really calculate how much a home field advantage really counts for. And I got to be honest, without fans, I don't know. Like in a place like Seattle and Arrowhead, places like that where the fans get so loud that it really creates communication issues, you no longer have those. It's no longer an issue to play in Arrowhead because you no longer have communication issues.
You know? Unless you pump in crowd noise.
Well, even then, Tuck, when you pump in crowd noise, it's still not the same.
Like, for example, I know it switches sports, but NBA, if they do select Orlando or Vegas, right? You know, like, would players from other teams be in the stands watching the games?
No, definitely not.
Because I'll tell you, right, like, I watch wrestling on a weekly basis. And AEW, with a promotion that's in Jacksonville, they have their wrestlers social distancing as the crowd. So, I mean, and you can hear it.
The NBA is a little bit more woke than the AEW, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like, on television, the fact that the wrestlers are supporting other wrestlers, social distancing and being a part of the crowd, it's different in the product. WWE has nobody.
I mean, they could. It's not going to make a difference, though.
You know, when you 20 fans.
It won't make a difference. Right. I agree. From the fan perspective, though, like if I don't know, let's just say there was a playoff series and there's three teams, you know, it's Celtics, Philly on the court, you know, what's wrong with Toronto and someone else watching in the stands?
No, they can. They're going to be cheering.
But you're right. Probably the boo. Kyle Lowry's going to be booing Jason Tatum at the line. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be talking some trash. That's about it.
All right, let's get into it. Kansas City minus 10.5 week one against Houston. It's going to be the opening game. They're going to raise the banner. Are they going to raise the banner? And
with gloves?
Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, is 10.5 the a line based off of no fans? Fans?
Skill?
To me, I know Houston has covered well week one. I know that for a fact.
I mean, that's good for them. That was before they traded Deshaun.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I said Deshaun. DeAndre Hopkins for literally a backup running back. I mean, listen, I like you know what Bill O'Brien has done there. I love Deshaun Watson. I think obviously he's probably the third or fourth best quarterback in the NFL right now. To me, that Houston team is coming apart at the seams. They're getting dismantled all over the field. I'm very down on them this year. I think Kansas City has stayed relatively the same. They've stayed relatively healthy. They drafted an offensive playmaker as their first round pick. I would go Kansas City there.
I just think that any team that plays Kansas City who doesn't score right away, they're going to score on you double time. And I don't have to go back to that playoff game last year.
Kansas City covered the spread going away.
They were down, 28, 24, whatever it was.
24.
Stupid punt, fake punt, ruined them.
Okay, and can I just bring up one point? I've heard so many people praise Sean McDermott. That guy got pantsed by Bill O'Brien. Sean McDermott, you suck. I don't want to hear any of the Sean McDermott praise anymore. That guy got pantsed by Bill O'Brien in a playoff game. A playoff game. Enough with the Sean McDermott praise. Please, for the love of God, Cam, shut up. I don't want to hear Sean McDermott's a good coach. The guy got pantsed by Bill O'Brien in a playoff game. Shut up with the Sean McDermott love. Sorry.
Save that one, please.
Enough. Oh, my God.
This is the second week in a row where you last week you said go bleep yourself. This week you said Sean McDermott sucks.
Go bleep yourself. They sucked. Okay, Sean McDermott doesn't suck, but like enough with like he's a top five coach. That guy got pants by one of the worst coaches in like NFL playoff history. Just de-pantsed.
I think he's a good coach. I think Buffalo has played well.
Overrated. Heavily.
We'll find out.
Heavily overrated.
Hey, listen. The two teams that were the most overrated last year were who? Bears and Browns. This year, who is it?
It's the Bills and it's probably the Bucks.
Okay. 617-779-0985. We have Sean in Goffstown. What's going on, Sean? You're on the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment back on that wrestling take you guys had just a minute ago. There is a big difference between the AEW and WWE right now. I've been watching for over 15 years, yeah. And just having those few wrestlers stage as the audience, giving that wow factor to these moves, it sold me. I haven't been watching AEW, but I'm going to start watching more now.
Sean,
that did make a difference.
I'm a wrestling guy. I full-heartedly agree with you. I think the point that the guys are trying to make is, you know, is it going to make an impact
to the betting line? Like, seven wrestlers in the crowd doesn't change the betting line in Kansas City. That's all I'm trying to say.
Sean, I agree. As a viewer, though, I do agree. Like
the product might be better. I know nothing about wrestling.
What we're seeing on television is clearly better, but BETTOR does it affect that person? It probably doesn't.
No, but what if they use that to implement, if they do take these teams and move them to central locations, okay, you can put 2-3 teams spaced out in a stadium, and you're going to have football players excited watching a game in front of them, NBA players getting into the game, you know. If they put these teams as the fans, socially distancing, if they're not allowing real fans in, it just gives us a little bit more of that realism to the game versus just having nothing.
Sean, appreciate the call. Thank you.
But when
there's the guy in the thong at North Carolina or Duke or whatever it is, and that guy's in the stands doing his thing, that's the difference between him doing it and, I don't know, somebody.
If Kyle Lowry is watching Jason Tatum, I don't know if Jason Tatum's going to care. Now, maybe he will. But that has nothing to do with the betting line to me. And I haven't seen AEW. I don't watch wrestling at all. I'm sure it makes it a better product, and I fully believe you there.
You're right.
But for the betting line, it means literally nothing. Zilch.
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay. 617-779-0985. Speaking of wrestling, Money in the Bank's tomorrow night. I'll give you some prop bets. And UFC. All right, we'll get it going.
Let's get to UFC.
We'll get it going.
And then we got to do some. We got to give some people some stuff.
Okay.
So let's get the betting.
We get the bets coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I've heard so many people praise Sean McDermott. That guy got pantsed by Bill O'Brien. Sean McDermott, you suck.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over-Under Show. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. People call us the Bankroll Boys. All right, right off the bat, for those listening, I praise taking the underdogs during the preliminary, is what I would say. The preliminary card?
Undercard.
So, for example, tonight, Ferguson Gaethje, that's the top, and then Dominic Cruz is making his return tonight. And Ngannou, you'll see the Boston kid, Calvin Kattar, and Greg Hardy. That's like so you'll have to pay ESPN Plus, I believe, to watch those fights tonight.
And how about Cerrone?
Cerrone, though, will be on the undercard.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be the main match of the. So, you obviously, Cowboy Cerrone, you know that name.
Yeah.
This is a rematch, these two guys. I mean, dude, these are like two guys that you know in UFC. Cerrone's lost three. Pettis hasn't looked good, but like, I don't know where that one's going to go. I want to fade Pettis. Both are declining fighters, in my opinion, but these two might kill each other. Like, legitimately, like, this might be the, yes, let's get to the main card here.
I'm in on that.
And you'll be able to watch it tonight, I believe, on ESPN.
Nice.
On the undercard.
I'm watching the entire thing tonight.
So, speaking of that, this is what I have here. Ryan Spahn, Sam Alvey. I like Spahn. 435, Dan. And real quick, I wanted to mention this. I have not seen a -500 favorite since the pandemic has started. Like, to me, when I see like a heavily juiced, like in boxing, you might see like someone -1500, right? Or -900. I have not seen anything 500 or over in the last 9 weeks. And that's just by, like, money lines. But Spahn's 435 tonight, I think that's a no doubt. Spahn, no doubt. Bryce Mitchell versus Winter, like, that's another one. I just think the favorite's going to win. Vincent Luque versus Nico Price, I like Luque. So I like all the favorites in the undercard, but we have Carla Esparza versus Michelle Waterson. And Dan, I know in the gambling community, you look into things and see who's sharp and who's not. Esparza is the favorite in this one, while Waterson is the up and comer.
Esparza is one of the heaviest sharp plays that I've heard about tonight. In terms of just the amount of people and the amount of sharps on Esparza, she is definitely one of the heavier sharp sides as of right now. I mean, again, things change, it happens, but from the last week and a half, all the sharps have been on Esparza, from what I know.
So I'm going Waterson as a dog, +125 tonight. And that's what I have it at. It could move beforehand. But I feel like, so listen, first and foremost, Esparza is a little tank. And some of the female fights we've been watching of late have been outstanding, going to the unanimous decision. I'm going Waterson in this one. I just feel like she's the up-and-coming fighter. I think they're really pushing for her to move up here. Waterson, I think she's more dynamic, in my opinion. Esparza might go three rounds. So, the total might be something to look at over, because we've seen so many female fights go that round. That's one that I'd look at a dog in that one. But you said the heavy sharp. So for me, I'm going dog.
I'd go Esparza. I'm going Esparza. Okay. I don't have a ton of takes tonight, but that is one of them.
The other one here is Alexei Olenek, it looks like. Olenek, I was going to say, versus Fabrizio Werdum. I like Werdum in the fight. I'm going over 1.5. So I'm not even touching his side on that one. And then Cerrone Pettis. Dan, you know Cerrone Pettis. Like,
I know both those guys.
Okay,
so if I know them, that means that, okay, they're decent size.
As a gambler, looking at
this is on the pay-per-view, not the undercard.
Oh, it's really not going to be on?
No, pay-per-view.
Oh, I don't know why
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at all the ESPN. At least this is what's listed on the website. So at least ESPN Plus cuts off, I guess, the last match is...
Oh, that's weak.
Smith Cesera, it looks like. I don't know.
Oh, that's weak.
Maybe I'm incorrect. I could be incorrect. We'll see.
Okay, whatever. You can watch all the fights tonight. But if you were going to look at the line on that one, based off the line, who would you pick between Pettis and Cerrone?
Based off just knowing nothing about the fighters?
Yep.
I mean, obviously you'd lean towards the favorite, but... Dominic Cerrone's been, the one thing I do know about him is he's been just destroyed in the past few fights, right? He's gotten killed. So the fact that he's, only like, what, +130, I think he opened around +110, you probably get some decent value there. And again, I know nothing about UFC, so this is just a terrible analysis. But based on line value, you open +110, you move to +130, you know where the public money likely is. Again, I'm not sure if it's a sharper public move. My guess is it's a public move. I would say you probably get some decent value in Cerrone.
So here, I would take the favorite in this one.
You take Pettis?
Yeah, I take the favorite, whether it was Pettis or Cerrone, like whoever it was. I think this one, betting-wise, the way to go is the favorite here. Cerrone has something to prove, man. He's actually fought better competition. Pettis has, you see the holes in his game here. My thing is, if Cerrone loses tonight, he might have to retire.
So isn't that kind of an angle?
Yeah.
Back against the wall, so why don't you take the dog?
Take the dog. And plus, he's more likable. Cowboy Cerrone's a likable character.
I don't know the fighters, so this is me just kind of going off.
The other thing, too, is Cerrone's more of a fence fighter. If he can get Pettis in the fence, it might be a boring fight, but that will help him. Again, just for me. And the other thing is, I think Cerrone can be the submission, has the submission aspect in this one. I don't think it's going to the judges. These two guys have been beat up their last four fights. So I don't see it going. So what's the total? Do we have a total on that?
You know what? I think it is going to be on ESPN. It looks like only the final five matches are pay-per-view, and this is the sixth match. So I think it's going to be on ESPN.
Total over 2.5. Over 2.5.
So round three starts is +100 in my book. So even odds to get
over
around,
2.5?
No, just to get started.
Oh, wow.
Round 3 starts. Not even 2.5.
Round 3 starts. Book that. Lock it up. Round 3 starts, plus 100. Lock it up. Ooh, scary. Scary. If their book has that, yeesh.
Again, I mean, round 2.5 probably gives you, you know, you probably make minus 140. You probably start, you know, I don't know when, in the middle of the third. But round 3 starts plus 100.
So I'm not a fan of Greg Hardy. I've watched him fight. Yorgan De Castro, this is going to be ugly. I know Yorgan can box, but like Hardy's got this huge, he's 6'5", 300 pounds, 280 pounds, Dan. He just, anyone who tries to punch him, he puts his big leg in their face. He's not a great fighter. He's not. I just think this is going to be ugly. I think Hardy either wins by TKO or ugly decision.
You're strong.
I'm right going now. Hardy, and I mean, yeah. Unless he gets disqualified, that's the other angle, right? Because that's happened before.
You could probably bet. Who's he facing? DeCastro. Yeah. To win.
DeCastro can stand up though. That's the one thing from anything I've seen from him in the past. Stevens Qatar, Calvin Qatar is from Boston. Stevens, I'm telling you, he's gonna be a lightweight in this one. He actually didn't hit weight, so like that's not a good sign. That's not a good start off the bat. The thing is though, is I think he can win this fight. Stevens can win this. He's a dog, but everyone's gonna be behind Katara right now. Obviously, he's a Boston kid. People love him in the area, but the one thing that I see in this one is just the fact that Stevens, I think, is a little bit more. Has been in more accomplished fights. And again, this is just for me from afar betting on these fights. I don't like the high juice here. I don't like the high juice. John's in Providence wants to talk a little bit about the UFC card. What's up, John?
Yeah, I was just talking about that Cowboy and the Pettis fight. I just think Pettis is just too explosive for him. Cowboy's more of a guy that's going to stand in your face and square up.
Yeah, and listen, yeah. Dude, the Pettis has not looked good, though, his last few fights. He hasn't. And I know Cerrone's lost his last three. Yeah. But look who Cerrone's fought against, though. I mean,
Ferguson. But I think Ferguson's going to go out tonight by Gagey.
All right, let's get into that, John. I appreciate that one.
Do you want to save those for after the break?
Let's
go to the break early.
We'll go to the break, and then we'll wrap it up with the main card here on Over Under 95.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, the DraftKings Over Under Show. Wrapping up a few UFC plays for tonight. The Jeremy Stevens Calvin Katter fight. I think Katter is way too juiced at 270. But hey, kids from Boston tonight. Stevens is going to be, he didn't make weight. He's plus 220. I actually think there's value there, but I'm going over 2.5 rounds minus 160. I know it's juiced up, but I'll go over on that one.
I have over 2.5 here, minus 130.
Boom.
There you go.
So I gave this one out last week. Francis Ngannou versus Yair Rozenstruik. Over 1.5 rounds plus 115. This is a fade. Both fighters have knockouts in the first round. Ngannou could knock out the Rozenstruik. I don't think Rozenstruik wins first round. Give me over 1.5, and I don't know what you have, Dan, if you have to start round 2.
I do. It's minus 120. I literally just bet.
Boom.
Taking your advice.
I'm in on that one. That's like my play of the night right there.
Okay, you know, maybe I'll add to it.
Dominic Cruz versus Henry Cejudo. Dominic Cruz was a dominant fighter. He hasn't fought in 3 years, Dan. There's this thing called ring rust. I'm fading him. I used to love Cruz. But I'm going Cejudo tonight. In a way, 4.5 rounds seems like a lot to me. I might go under 4.5 at plus 170. I just feel like ring rust is a real thing here. Would not be surprised if Cruz won this fight, though. Long term, he was one of the better fighters going in UFC. A 3-year layoff, dude. out.
Yeah.
Not so I'm going to go under 4.5 at plus 170. And then finally, Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. Everyone loves Ferguson. The boat. You want to talk about the Buffalo Bills, all these teams?
I had Ferguson beating Khabib, by the way.
Whoa. Oh, no way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, no. I am fading Tony Ferguson tonight. Give me Justin Gaethje. Plus 175 is the underdog. Listen, this is more of a Joe going against a fade. This is a fade. But I think this can be a great fight. I think over 2.5 is the right play in the main event.
All right, any PPs for tonight? Any podcast plays, show plays?
PP, enter second round in Ngannou, Rosen Jerk.
So over 1.5.
Yeah, and over 1.5. I like that one. And give me over 2.5 Stevens Catter.
Okay.
Those are my PPs for tonight. And then the only dogs I like is in the female fight.
I like Watterson. I don't. My play for tonight would be Esparza. I know nothing.
And this is off Dan Sharpless.
I'm just telling you that all the Sharps love Esparza tonight.
The other thing too is I'd love to fade Greg Hardy. Like somehow he loses by disqualification. That'd be the one that I have. And the Cerrone Pettis fight, man. I think it's gonna go under. I just feel like this is a fight that these two dudes are gonna go in the ring and just beat the crap out of each other early on, and then in the second round they can't stand up and someone submits or gets knocked out. So I'm gonna go under 2.5. I lean Pettis. I do. But I feel like if Cowboy loses, he's done. You can't lose 4 in a row and continue to fight.
Nope.
But there's an angle there. So something to keep an eye on. Anything else, Dan, before we get out of here tonight? You got any little Korean baseball or anything?
Nothing great. I mean, nothing really, to be honest with you. I mean, the NFL win totals have been up for a little bit. We'll do another division next week. We did the AFC North last week. We were going to do one this week, but obviously don't have time. We'll do, I think, maybe the NFC North next week. So we'll bang that out, and we'll kind of see what happens. Get into it next week. I got nothing. Soccer, the one soccer player I didn't put out, of course, ended up winning last night. So, you know, whatever. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right.
I'm not rushing.
Going big. Francis Ngannou over 1.5, getting to the second round. That's the big one tonight, everybody. And if it loses, I know nothing about you. So. All right, he's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Mari. Thank you, Tucker Silva. I believe programming's off for a couple hours, and then Big Jim and Gasper take over. 10 o'clock right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub, it's over under 98.5.
Who you got? McDermott sucks.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.